Hello, everyone, and happy leap day. What a fun day, right? So I'm excited about today's episode because I wanted to circle back to our home organization challenge. I got us a bit off track in February, which is fine because I wanted to start talking about other things. But if you're still following along on our 10-week home organization challenge, then this week is week 8. We're almost there, and we are working on the playroom, which is sort of a space that I've been dreading because I have not been doing the best job of like keeping the playroom closet as clean and tidy as it possibly could. So this is actually a good week because I feel like I need to finally face the playroom closet. So yeah, I hope this has been a helpful little challenge for you guys to kickstart our new year. Because it's winter, we're home a little bit more. So I feel like now is a really good time to get started on just like transforming our spaces. And today I wanted to continue on our little micro series of decluttering and organizing our homes. I wanted to focus specifically on the kitchen because the kitchen truly is the heart of the home, right? Like if your family eats your meal, most of your meals at home, like you're constantly in the kitchen making something, right? Like there's just always something to prepare or cook or bake or chop or clean up. So today I really wanted to dive deep to help our kitchens run as smoothly as possible because I don't know about you, but if my fridge and my pantry and meal planning are out of whack, that probably means the rest of my life is as well. So you're listening to episode 119 of The Raw and the Cooked. I'm your host, Dara Boxer, and today we're going to talk about organizing our kitchen. Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Raw and the Cooked, a weekly podcast that provides simple routines around the home, plus raw and honest book reviews. My name is Dara. I'm a Midwestern stay-at-home mom to 3 young kids, and I thrive on simplicity. So ideally, I wanted this episode to air a few weeks ago, back on week 3 of our decluttering challenge, because that particular week we focused on the kitchen, but oh well, life happens. So I thought we could talk about today in a couple of different parts. The first two parts we'll focus on the most. That's number 1, decluttering, number 2, organizing, and then number 3, food inventory, and then number 4, everyone's favorite topic, meal planning. So let's definitely start with the decluttering because it is important to have a decluttered kitchen before we can even do anything, right? Just mainly for a handful of reasons. But to start with, a decluttered kitchen is a soothing space, which leads to more enjoyment. A decluttered kitchen is easier to clean. A decluttered kitchen is easier to cook in. So those are some of the big obvious ones. But we obviously can't organize anything until we declutter, because you have to get rid of what isn't working before you can sort and categorize what is working. And the kitchen can be a really tricky place because we treat our kitchens as the drop zone for a lot of different items. It's where our kids snack and do homework after school. It's where they craft and they play while we cook. It's where mail and packages get dropped. It's where a lot of the activity happens. And that's before we even discuss using our kitchen for meal prep and cooking. So it's just really important to stay on top of it. And the beauty of decluttering a kitchen is that we're in the space every single day, multiple times a day. So you can tackle one drawer, one countertop section, one cabinet at a time. Like it doesn't have to be an all or nothing ordeal. You don't have to like make it a thing, right? Like just take your time. And I do recommend starting with countertops because that is low-hanging fruit and it'll give you the biggest impact and it'll keep you motivated. A lot of people keep a lot of unnecessary appliances on their countertops and it's just taking up really valuable real estate. I mean, maybe if you have a really large kitchen with a ton of counter space, like fine, leave your blender that you don't use every day on there. But for a lot of us, we don't have that availability because we need our counter space to prep and to cook and to place things. And just like adding too many appliances is really, it's an eyesore, but B, it's just impossible to cook and clean around. So if you don't use an appliance every single day, it does not deserve prime real estate on your counters, just period. Find a cabinet or a drawer for it to live in. So for our household, We have a toaster oven, we have a coffee maker, a large glass canister of coffee grounds, and my KitchenAid. And that's kind of it for appliances. But if I were to leave, like if I were to leave my slow cooker on the countertop, which I use like maybe once or twice a week on the counter, it would eat up a lot of space that I actually need for prepping. So yes, I haul it to and from its home in a Lazy Susan cabinet whenever I do need it. And the same goes for my blender, my sous vide, really just like anything with a plug kind of like stays together in a cabinet. And cookbooks are another item that people tend to leave on countertops. But can you find another home for them? Maybe in a cabinet. Also like mail and important paperwork that need to get kept in the kitchen. Like I get it, maybe opt for a basket. So it's more visually appealing, or you could get a hanging file folder to hide in the pantry. So in addition to cookbooks and mail and paperwork, decor is another thing people tend to keep in their kitchen. And unfortunately, decor does not really belong there either, especially in your countertops. So like picture frames, knickknacks, collectible teapots, like all of these things should find a new home, especially if they're taking up countertop space. So another tip regarding your countertops, and you might not like this, especially if you have a dishwasher, but you should really think about getting rid of your dish drying rack. It takes up so much space. We personally lay out a drying mat or a dish towel, both which can be thrown in the wash really easily. It takes up way less space and it encourages us to put away our clean dishes and just not leave them piled up. And also it just like looks kind of cluttered. So as soon as like dishes are dry or I have available availability in my day, I'm going to dry the dishes, put them back, and like throw the towel in the washing machine. So other space saving solutions is maybe a magnetic block for knives, hooks for your kitchen tools that you use the most, hooks for measuring cups, a shelf for those cookbooks, just get them off the counter. Drawer dividers work really well. Inside cabinets, Lazy Susans go a long way, in addition to bins and baskets and two-tiered shelving systems. The Container Store is super expensive, but it is also a super fantastic place to organize your heart out. So I highly recommend a visit to that. And of course, it's best to keep like items with like items. So like all of your pots and pans and like, you know, cooking, like your Dutch ovens, like all of that should be kept together. Baking sheets and cutting boards should live together. The most used utensils that you have. I have like a little oil and spice cabinet. I have all of my Asian oils and sauces grouped together on a Lazy Susan. So it just makes it easier when I'm grabbing ingredients for meal prep, because like all of like ingredients and sauces and spices are kind of like grouped together like that. My like daily spices are alphabetized in a drawer. All of our Pyrexes have matching lids, which is important, by the way, because you don't want to store things that don't have a matching lid or container, right? So all of our Pyrexes with their matching lids and bento go boxes for the kids all live together in the same drawer. My casserole dishes live with my pots and my pans, along with strainers, because you know you use strainers typically with big pots. My pot holders live inside of those cabinet drawers on a command hook. I personally love command hooks. I really enjoy their existence in the kitchen. They can go a long way of like getting things up and off and easier to access inside of cabinets and drawers. We personally have a really beautiful wooden lazy Susan that's on top of our Peninsula counter. So it's not in the way at all of my meal prepping or anything I need to do in the kitchen. And that's kind of where just like the most random items live, like my olive oil, my salt pig, a pepper grinder, a jar of red wine vinegar, like a vase of fresh green onions, honey, cinnamon, a bunch of bananas, like a homemade all-purpose cleaner, that I have like a little spray bottle of. There are just like certain items that like we as a family reach for every single day. And I know that it would just be really cumbersome to pack them away, especially since our kids use a lot of those items. And so as long as it's like contained, maybe like on a nice tray or like a Lazy Susan or like whatever you have, and it's not in the way of your prepping space, I say go for that. I've also seen a lot of people keep their vitamins in the kitchen because it's easier to remember to take vitamins moments while you're like making your breakfast and you kind of like see it, you're like, oh yeah. I've seen people keep them out on countertops in like a little basket or in a basket inside of a cabinet, like whatever works for you. But like stuff that you need and utilize in the kitchen should be kind of like kept in a good spot like that, but nice and contained and like packed away. And I also think it's really hard to start cooking a meal when you have to clean up ahead of time from the meal you had last. Like there's honestly nothing more defeating than that. Like getting started on dinner, but like then having to clean the breakfast dishes before you can really use your sink for the items that you're cooking currently. So I highly recommend a quick kitchen pickup after each meal, especially if you have kids that are home from school, as often as mine have been this winter with all the snow we've had. And, you know, after snacks too. It's just like simply putting away the ingredients back in the fridge or the pantry, wiping up the counters and putting the dishes in the sink, or bonus points if you actually wash them and put them away or in the dishwasher. So I personally love setting little timers and seeing how quickly I can get a task done. Like it usually does not take as long as I think it will. Like there are seriously some days where I just like, it just feels like a marathon to get food on the plates and then clean it all up afterwards. Just one time, just like in just like sheer exasperation, I was like, you know, to myself, I was like, my God, like I just spent like an hour in the kitchen, like preparing this meal, cleaning up all the pots and pans that were required to make this meal. The meal was like eaten in less than 7 minutes by everyone in my family. And then we spent the next like 30 minutes cleaning up the mess that it made. It's just crazy, right? Like my three kids are hurricanes and like the mess that they leave after feeding is not dissimilar to like a pack of lions eating a zebra. And when they finally get hosed down and leave and go play, and like I just want to like curl up in a ball and die, like knowing how cumbersome the cleanup will be, that is when I will reach for my time timer that we also keep on our Lazy Susan and set it just for 10 minutes. And I tell myself I will only clean for those 10 minutes. And guess what? It is almost always done before the timer goes off. So that's definitely my professional motivational tip of the day, is to set a timer when you just like cannot. And going back to decluttering our kitchen, it can also be as slow as we want, right? Like, so if you're in the kitchen as often as I am, you have nearly half a dozen opportunities per day to rifle through cabinets and drawers and just take them one item at a time, right? Like a lot of times we feel immense guilt for letting things go or donating things, like even if we haven't used them in forever. I think partly over the money or the loss of the dream or guilt because it was a gift to us, or just like the future you that you're imagining. But it is, I'm here to give you that permission. Just, it is okay to let something go. It is okay. And again, especially if you follow like the 2020 rule, if you can acquire it again in the future for less than $20 in less than 20 minutes, you can probably just throw it away or donate it or give it to a friend or whatever. Anyway, so the pantry is a really hard place as well and needs regular maintenance or it's going to get out of control. And so I like to keep things simple and I only like to purchase like, let's say, two different types of cereal rather than like have six different ones to keep track of inventory wise. I like to keep back stock slash like overflow bins organized by category, since I'm a big believer in decanting items into clear bins. I shop for essentials like flour, sugar, nuts, rice, whatever at Costco. And so like there's always overflow. And so I like to hide it away in a backflow slash like overflow space. My husband will forever make fun of me. He tells me I'm like not dissimilar to our toddlers where I just like love to move an object from one vessel to another, but that's okay. I think the decanting is awesome, mainly because like it looks great. And number two, it's very easy to open up your pantry and like with one glance, see that you're running low on like X, Y, and Z, as opposed to like keeping things in boxes. You have no idea how much is in there. And like, then you should like open them up and like look or like shake a package. And like, who wants to do that? I don't. So yeah, I also utilize baskets to contain protein bars and again, throw away the boxes. I like to keep all of like canned beans in one space. I keep all of our ramen and mac and cheese and pasta together. I keep the canned tomatoes near them. I keep flour and sugar and other baking items together. I keep chai and different tea bags together in like one section. I keep my kids' snacks and other items that they eat on the lowest shelf so that they can just help themselves when they're hungry. And they also, this is a very new development, by the way, they make their own breakfast in the morning. So I make sure that the Nutella and the peanut butter are also in their reach for toast. That goes for their cereals. And we recently moved around our fridge so that my daughter can reach for bread and milk herself, and they can just help themselves to their own apples and their own ingredients for breakfast. We moved their plates, bowls, and cups to a low drawer so that they can reach it without straining on a step stool, and that independence has been glorious. Okay, so another reason that the pantry is tough, though, is because you have to constantly keep up with it. Like, right, we were constantly going to the grocery store and buying things, and like, it's you sometimes you buy at a faster pace than you eat, or vice versa, and then you overbuy, and it's just like a whole thing. And sometimes it just gets crazy if you do not stay on top of it. And so I don't recommend doing this every time you want to organize your pantry, but I definitely recommend doing this if you haven't done it in a couple of years. But I do suggest taking everything out, like absolutely everything out of the pantry and onto countertops, and then just kind of separating it rapid fire. Like things you won't eat, don't eat, stale, expired, whatever needs to get tossed or donated if it's still eligible for that. Everything else gets sorted and then decanted. And again, bins and baskets and lazy Susans and can organizers and spice racks and over-the-door mounting systems, command hooks, all of these things make a big difference. So when you're putting items back, like think about your kids first. Put their snacks and their items on easy-to-reach places. It really fosters early independence and sort of gives them a sense of personal responsibility. My kids are so proud of making their own breakfast, even though it is the worst thing in the world to watch my 3.5-year-old son pour his own milk. And it's even more awful when he drops an entire container of granola on the floor, or when my daughter spreads like an entire cup of peanut butter on a single piece of toast. But you know what? Like, who cares? It's a learning curve. But anyway, the point of decanting into bins and baskets and clear containers is that, so again, you can quickly glance and see what you're running low on. What you'll need to add to your upcoming grocery list. It's not just because it looks nice, which it does, by the way. And so we'll circle back to inventory in a minute. The last part, other than like your cabinets and your drawers and your pantry in your kitchen, is your fridge. And a fridge is another spot that needs to be maintained regularly, even more so than the pantry, because again, pantry items, of course, are like food or shelf stable. They can last a lot longer. You don't really have to worry about things going bad in there. Whereas the fridge, like, not so much. So I personally like to organize my fridge by having different zones. I have a "this needs to get eaten this week" zone. So any like dinner leftovers or things for lunch or like things that need to get eaten kind of like all live together. And that's where my husband, I would hope he would catch on at this point, but he doesn't. But for everyone else's sake, there is a whole designated area of like, hey, like, let's eat this first. Just again, because like, I really, my goal is no food waste, because food waste is like literally a waste of money. So anyway, I have a whole area for like, let's eat this up. I have a whole zone for raw meat or fresh vegetables that need to get cooked. All of that lives together in the same area. I have a drawer of produce, a drawer of heartier vegetables. Condiments don't necessarily get grouped together in any order. It's more just like I keep an eye out for anything that's been sitting there for quite some time that I no longer need. I make my own salad dressings. I make my own mayonnaise. So it's kind of like, how old is this? Or like, does it need to get tossed? Because again, it's not quite as stable as a grocery store salad dressing or mayonnaise with preservatives in it. So again, just like, you know, like things to just be mindful of. And so, And then again, I have a zone of like dinner leftovers that could get eaten this week, but not necessarily like emergency. And same for my freezer. I like to keep all of my frozen meats together, the frozen meals that go together, frozen breads, frozen vegetables, frozen fruits, and of course, like frozen dessert and butter live together. And so this sort of helps me understand what I have on hand, what I could potentially make a meal out of, what I need to add to my grocery list because I want to eat this, but we need that to make it work. So when I go shopping and plan, right, it's sort of like how it works. And by keeping things like neat and organized and able to see what you have at a glance, it makes that process a lot easier. Okay, so coming back to food inventory, while I have a little whiteboard hanging in my kitchen for a meal plan, a weekly meal plan, it's just like a simple one, like Sunday through Saturday, I like to update it every single week. I usually start in my fridge. I see if there's any produce or random special ingredients, like, I don't know, maybe like a knob of ginger that needs to be used within the upcoming week, or like what, and I think to myself, like, what can I make with it? Are there any Pyrex dishes on the this needs to go shelf, like of protein or vegetables that we should eat up? And if so, how can I bulk it up or incorporate it into this week? And then I glance at my freezer, like what frozen meat do I have that I can use for this upcoming week? And I sort of plan from there. I double check my calendar. I see what the week looks like ahead. My daughter has chess lessons during our dinner time from 5:30 to 6:30 on Tuesdays. So I usually want to plan an easy one pot meal, maybe a slow cooker dish, maybe a sheet pan dinner on Tuesdays so I can make it super easy for my husband and the boys. I like to incorporate salmon once a week. I plan something special for Shabbats. And in the winter, I like to have soup and homemade fresh bread once a week. We like to have a meaty pasta night once a week. And in my phone, I like to keep a running note of the dishes that we enjoy as a family. And if I'm really stumped and don't feel like thinking too hard, I'll sort of glance at that. But having a solid food inventory and knowing what you have and what you could make, in addition to knowing what your family likes to eat and keeping a well-organized fridge and pantry, makes a big difference for meal planning. And I know no one likes to talk about meal planning. Meal planning is hard and daunting and scary, but it really doesn't have to be that difficult. Make it as simple as you can. What are four meals that you enjoy cooking, can cook without looking at a recipe, your family will eat, and that is just like easy to whip together on a busy night. And again, between that and having a clean and organized fridge, freezer, and pantry, you're golden. It's not that bad, I promise. So I hope this episode, this is getting to be a long episode, but I hope it gave you something to think about. And just know that, again, the beauty of a kitchen is that, yes, it is a very complex space to organize and keep on top of because there's so much activity that goes on in a daily, on a daily basis. However, but because we're in there, the converse is also true. Because we're in there so much, so often, it's very easy to just like tackle one drawer at a time, one cabinet at a time, and just talk. Donate, like do what you need to do to make it work and make it flow for you. I love reorganizing and reshuffling around my kitchen. And another point I didn't make earlier about like tools and utensils for kitchen items, make sure that the flow works for your kitchen, right? Like it doesn't make sense to keep your most used utensils and tools like across from the stove, right? Or like it doesn't make sense to keep items super far away from where you're going to need to use them because, again, like make things convenient and easy for yourself. So yeah, that's all I have to say. Okay, so we're getting into like the 25 minute mark. So I'm going to end this episode. And again, I hope it was helpful and you take away something from today. And I'll see you back here next week.